Welcome to The Rich Life Show, the show designed to help you build long-term financial success, achieve peace of mind, and enjoy your life through community, family, and faith. Now, here's your host, Rich Life Advisor, Bo Henderson.
It's that time, the richest hour on the radio, the one place committed to helping you live a healthy, wealthy, fulfilled life on purpose. I'm Bo Henderson, financial advisor and master certified success coach, and you're listening to The Rich Life Show. And we're going to have some important conversations today, and I'm really looking forward to this because this is something that comes up every week. I know it's valid because not only do we hear about it in the news all the time, it's something I see the real world effect of people coming to the office with this concern and these questions every single week. And it is this shift that we're seeing, this shift of people moving to safety with low interest rates out there and the volatility of the market, or the concern of where the market's going, or possibly a double dip going into next year, early next year. So we want to have that talk about why are we looking at, when we look at institutional investors, we look at mutual fund managers, we look at people that know about money, why is it they're fleeing to safety, and should you be too? Also, we're going to have a rich life story that you don't want to miss later in the show from my friend Kamanzi Constable. And as always, there's lots of ways to connect here on The Rich Life Show. If you've got financial questions, you can always go to askbo.com. That's askbeau.com. You can go to Rich Life Advisors on Facebook. We're always monitoring that and love to interact with you there. And Twitter at Rich Life Advisor. And if you have questions, whether it's financial or you just want to share with us, which seems to come up every week, what's going on that makes your life rich? Let's start with the gratitude and what you're thankful for. You can give us a call right here in the studio at 770-535-2911, 1-800-552-9386. And speaking of sharing, I always appreciate, and again, we monitor and are looking at the Facebook shares, the Twitters, and I really do. I appreciate and honor when you share, because not only does it bless me to see it, I know it blesses you to share, but it blesses all our rich lifers out there, the followers are online, the listeners here on the show, and I appreciate it. So I had a couple to share that came in this morning. Dan wrote, "Bo, I'm most grateful for my 2-year-old and 5-year-old daughters. There is nothing as real and as innocent as children." So, Dan, I believe it. Those children make your life rich. That comes up a lot. Josh wrote, "Even though life is busy, we're having friends over tonight and family over on the weekend, serving others and making them happy with great food is a better feeling than getting something you want. How can you live a rich life without having rich relationships to share it with?" I think you got it, Josh. There's kind of a theme here. We have a very important money topic, and we're talking about money on the Rich Life Show. And a lot of what seems to be coming up that makes people's life rich are these most important relationships. So I think we're kind of hitting on what tends to come up to the surface of two of the biggest things we can take care of to have that peace of mind and that definition of a rich life. Janet wrote in another one. "My 2 sons and their girlfriends, after I lost my husband at age 52, the friends and relatives who helped me after he passed away truly make my life rich." And thanks again for that share, Janet. And it is great to see who those true people are that show up when you're going through something in the bad times too. So appreciate the shares. If you have shares, you can let us know online, Facebook, Twitter. You can call us here at the studio, 770-535-2911, 1-800-552-9386. What makes your life rich? Great question to think about. Great thing to ponder on daily, really, because what we focus on expands, and why in the world would we not want to bring more of the good stuff in our life, the good things that are happening? So let's go into this conversation, very important conversation, this shift to safety. So we see this all over the place. Jobs, information about jobs, numbers come out. They can be misleading. They can mean this or they can mean that. But pretty much what we know is that there's a lot of people out there not working. And we see that firsthand. It's either somebody, it might be you listening, or it's somebody you know, or somebody close. So we know there's a problem there. There's not enough jobs out there. The market's up, the market's down. People are scared to death the market's going to have a harsh reaction next year, in the new year. So the market's scary. Global economic problems. You think about what's going on in Europe, Spain, Ireland, Greece. And how does that affect us here? And why does that affect us in the U.S.? What's going on over there? used to seem like it didn't affect us so much when something on the other side of the world happened that by the time we kind of assimilated it here domestically, things had kind of smoothed out, but not so much anymore. And not to mention the trillions of dollars of massive debt. So all problems that come up when we talk about the shift to safety, but what we're seeing and what we're noticing, if you're paying attention, is mutual fund managers, institutional investors, pensions, they're all fleeing to safety. They're moving money from the domestic market and stocks, and they're moving into safe instruments. And why are they doing that? And is it something you should be doing? And if you're not, or is it something your advisors should be advising you to do? So the question is, if people in the know are moving money to safety, again, is that something we should be thinking about? It's time, with everything going on, we believe it's time for a defensive play to protect against the next downturn. And are you properly positioned? That's the big question. So do you have questions? Do you have scenarios? Do you relate to this? Because what we're dealing with right now, and what I see coming in, the questions coming in, the people stopping by the office, is what I'm calling this kind of retirement paradox. It's people stuck between, I can put money in the bank for safety, but the best I might be doing is 0.5% of interest there. My alternative, and there's all kinds of inflation risk there too because of that 0.5%. Or I could put my money out in the market and kind of roll the dice. But anybody that's lived the last 12 years had money in the market. They see what can happen. You know, I can go out there to try to make up some ground or make up some time, get a little extra return. But what about what happened in 2001, 2002? And again in 2008, 2009, what if you lose 35, 45% of that? How's that going to affect your plan? So we really got to look at that. And we look at today I was looking in the doing a little research, searching some of the sites, saw Warren Buffett selling a lot of domestic consumer stocks, going to safety. So the guy known as probably the most famous U.S. investor, if he's going to safety, and this is a guy for years and years, that's his philosophy. It's a total change of tune because his philosophy has been you buy a company, you buy a good company, and you hold on to it forever. So the question that brings up for me is he doing this because he sees an imminent double-dip recession coming? And is he doing this to protect himself from taking a major hit? And then another piece, there's FDIC insurance, that there's something that people need to be aware of. 12/31 this year, in 2008, there was an emergency measure came in that allowed certain bank accounts to be completely protected, unlimited, to prevent a massive withdrawal of money. And when that happened, again, it was to protect from this massive outflow of money from the banks. But that is set to expire 12/31/12. And it doesn't look like, based on what we're seeing, it doesn't look like that's going to change. So what does that mean? There is, $1.4 trillion of cash could be flooding the market looking for a place, a safe place, to find a new home because it's no longer protected in the FDIC, which is probably why it's there. And the issue is we saw with what we've been talking about, the conversations about quantitative easing, QE3. As the Fed has said, through mid-2015, we're going to pump in $40 billion into bonds to keep rates low. On top of this $1.4 trillion that's going to be looking for safe homes, if it goes into treasuries and things like that, it's going to continue to keep those rates low and keep us kind of in this retirement paradox I'm talking about. So we move to why do some of the things happen, brought up the question, why do some of the things that happen in Spain, Greece, Ireland affect our market here instantaneously? It's anymore. The world, we live in a globalized world. And it's a small world. Something happens, it does. It instantaneously affects us here. And that's not going to change. And as there's been more problems there in Europe and out in the world, what's happening again? Triple whammy. Money's flowing back into U.S. treasuries for safety. And it's kind of not that the U.S. Is looking that great. It's just kind of the lesser of the evils right now. So as that money floods in, it's continuing to keep our rates low. So again, we've got that paradox. And does that sound like you? Are you kind of in a place to where I'm stuck between banks with inflation risk, not making any return? or the volatility and a little bit scared of what the market's doing and might do in the future. We're going to talk about some solutions when we come back right here on the Rich Life Show. Well, we went to the break talking about this what we're seeing and this shift to safety. And the conversation was, okay, if institutional investors, mutual fund managers, and pensions are moving to safety, should you? Is it time to move? Is there something coming that we need to be prepared for? And we've been talking about this retirement paradox between, okay, I could go to a bank and do CDs at 0.5%, but there's certainly inflation risk there, or I can go out in the market and risk possible negative returns and loss of earning power with that principal. So what do you do? And the solutions we've been working with clients to solve in this environment are those that are somewhere in the middle. It's between CDs with inflation risk while protecting your principal with upside returns without the risk of loss. And there are options and strategies. There's things out there now that weren't around when our parents were around. They didn't have access to. That weren't around 20 years ago. But the key is to have the information to know what's available, because the idea of this modern portfolio theory, which was created in the 50s and worked brilliantly from 1960 to 1999, and it has failed miserably for the last 12 years. But that's still, most people we see come in, that's how they're managing their portfolio. So there's some things we need to do. There's some things we need to do different, and we need to make sure we have the right information. So call me. You can call me at the office. You can call our team, and we can review the portion of your plan that has the objective for, one, number one, maximum safety, and number two, maximum income. If we look at your scenario, there's one of two outcomes that's going to happen. We make it real easy. You find out there's things you can do to give you more peace of mind and improve your strategy overall. Or you find out you're doing okay and you have the peace of mind to know that you're doing the best you can. That's it. Nothing hard about it. Call me and we can have the conversation and review your account. I've been doing these reviews in North Georgia for over 13 years with over 3,000 clients now. And the key to a successful outcome is having the right information to make the best decision possible. Call me to set up a review with Rich Life Advisors at 770-249-7424. That's 770-249-7424. If you prefer and are an online person, you can go to richlifefinancial.com and set that up and request that. So this is going on, and if there's any fear, doubt, worry, anxiety around this, or lack of peace of mind, it's time to do that review. So we're talking about the shift to safety on the Rich Life Show today. How do you protect that portion of your portfolio that has those objectives, maximum safety and maximum income? It's the retirement paradox. We got low rates of return and with inflation risk and market volatility with possible principal loss and potential to lose earning power. That's the conversation. It's an important one because, like I said, it's one thing to see it in the newspaper and hear it, but it's another thing I feel it because I see people every day with these concerns coming in with these questions. So if you have questions or just like to take a break to share with our listeners what makes your life rich, give me a call right here, 770-535-2911, 1-800-552-9386. You can leave a comment or a message at Rich Life Advisors on Facebook, Rich Life Advisor on Twitter. And if you have questions you can't ask live, just go to Ask Bo, that's askbeau.com, and we'll make sure it gets answered there. And while we're kind of in a little bit of a break there, I want to take a minute to thank our sponsors and just say, these are businesses I know the owners and the companies understand that you are the asset. So a special thanks to Peach State Bank and Trust, American Family Insurance, and the King of Clean, Will Edwards. Appreciate what you do and how you serve our people in our community. So I wanted to say thanks there. And again, let's get back to this retirement paradox that leaves most people right now saying, what in the world should I do? Some of the solutions we've been working with, this has been coming up a lot recently, involve accounts that pay 6% plus towards your income for up to 20 years guaranteed. Your principal is safe and you lose nothing in market losses and can gain and participate in a portion of the market gains. Again, this is the portion of your money that's objectives, and I'm going to beat this. Strategies, products, accounts are used are when they're used for the wrong reason or for the wrong objective. What I'm talking about is for that portion that the goals are maximum safety and maximum income. And it's important to realize that the accumulation and growth planning, which is what most financial planning is, that you see out there, is completely different from safety and income planning. And people get caught, like I was saying, people get caught when they have the wrong strategy or the wrong kind of planning for what they're trying to accomplish. So let me give you some rough math with that example. So say so the account I was talking about that does 6% income roll up for 20 years guaranteed. If we put $500,000 in this account and the income increases 6% for 10 years, the rough math comes up that you would have at 10 years $895,423. And the income guaranteed that that would produce for you is $44,771 guaranteed. That's a pretty nice little pension. And there's no other strategy or anything out in the market that we could do with funds, stocks, ETFs, and things that can guarantee that. So at no point in this scenario does your money go down. It doesn't go down if the market loses 50%. You don't lose money. So here's the problem. In the way the retirement planning has traditionally been done, in the last 12 years, as we're talking about, 2001, 2002, 2008, 2009, there are many people we see that have gained little or no money, yet guess what? They're 12 years closer to needing the money and retiring. So that's a problem. So that's why these guarantees and these roll-ups and providing the income you need is very important. Why are mutual fund managers, these institutional investors, pensions, why are they fleeing to safety? And the question, if they're doing it, and these are the people that know money, should we? Or is your advisor talking to you about moving to safety to protect what you've spent your entire life to this point building? And we believe it's time for a defensive play to protect against the next downturn. So the question today is really, we see this conversation and all this out there about the fleet of money, but how does it affect us? And are you properly positioned? And we talk about modern portfolio theory. It's outdated. It's an outdated system. Worked great from 60 to 99. A lot of us did great through 99. But it's failed miserably the last 12 years. So why would you still be using that strategy and that plan? People are tired of losing their money and not having that peace of mind. Many are frozen right now. And there's options out there. But the key is to have that information. Sit down with an independent advisor. Sit down with us at Rich Life Advisors. Sit down with me. I'm happy to go through this and have this conversation with you. Call the office, go over these products, go over these accounts, go over these solutions, and see if there's a portion of your money that the main concern and objective is, again, safety and income. And the reminder is you find there's one or two things that will happen when we do this. You'll find out things are great, and you'll have peace of mind knowing you're doing the best you can. Or you'll find out there's some things to tweak, or there might be a strategy that you can use and improve what you're doing. So call me and call the team at Rich Life Advisors, and let's have that conversation. Again, I've been doing this for a long time in North Georgia, over 13 years, and the key to the successful outcome is having the right information to make the best decision possible. To set up that review, call Rich Life Advisors at 770-249-7424. That's 770-249-7424. If you prefer, and you're an online type of person, you can submit that online at richlifefinancial.com. So it's been a good conversation, and I'm going to wrap it up there because there's a part two that we'll get to next week. When we come back, what I want to do is shift to a Rich Life story. It's a Rich Life story you don't want to miss. It's our friend Kamanzi Constable, and he'll be on the line, and we'll be talking about what is the story, where did it start? And in most of these stories, when we talk about a Rich Life story, it started with some discontent. Or an issue, or maybe a major event that leaves people feeling, hey, there's more for me. I'm meant for something different. I'm meant for something more. So I look forward to getting to that story. You don't want to miss it. I always love doing these interviews. It inspires, motivates, and gets me excited about working on my definition of a rich life. We'll be back with much more.
Welcome to The Rich Life Show, the show designed to help you build long-term financial success, achieve peace of mind, and enjoy your life through community, family, and faith. Now, here's your host, Rich Life Advisor, Bo Henderson.
We're back on The Rich Life Show, and it's been a great topic so far. We're talking about a shift to safety and kind of a heavy conversation, talking about pension fund managers, mutual fund managers, institutions, and where we are, the retirement paradox. But what I want to do now is move this segment to a rich life story and why it's important that we do the best we can do with our money, because we've got to enjoy the process. Because if we're not fulfilled in life, I've known way too many people that have a lot of money that would trade it all to have healthy relationships, health, memories, all these things we talk about so much. So today who I want to bring on a friend, Kamanzi Constable, and he has a great story, and I'm going to kind of let the story unfold. So all I'm going to say right now is one thing you'll notice real quick, Kamanzi's a real person. He's a real guy, and he's a great guy. So Kamanzi, welcome to the Rich Life Show.
Bo, I would say I'm excited to be on with you, but that word doesn't even cover it. I'm overjoyed. I'm ecstatic to talk to you today.
Well, we're excited to have you, and I kind of keyed it up before the break. I guess you heard on hold that that most of the time when we start these stories to somebody's journey or working towards their definition of a rich life, which is really the mission and message behind what I do, a lot of times it starts with a major event in life, a discontent, or just this knowing that, hey, I'm meant for something different or something more. So where did you start? Where did this all start for you, this shift?
I think it started growing inside me 3 years ago. I had been a self-employed, I own my own business, which, you know, is the American dream to be a business owner. You know, at 18 years old, I was a business owner, and I actually made decent income, and things were great. But as I started getting older, and I got married, and I had kids, the business that I had didn't fit into my family lifestyle. And so, you know, I had thoughts in the back of my mind, like, you know, maybe I should look into doing something else. But I thought, you know, this is my business. I thought, I don't have a college degree. I don't have any special skills. I don't have, you know, a big nest egg. You know, what could I really do? So I felt stuck for a long time. And I didn't even voice a lot of those things that were going on in my head. You know, I just kind of kept them myself. And it wasn't until, you know, a couple years ago that the company that I contracted to, because I was it's kind of like a franchisor situation. They got bought out by a really large company, and that company came in, and it was all about the profits, the shareholders, and making money any way they could. And so what happened in that circumstance was us, the little guy, they started taking, you know, more and more things away from us. And there was a little bit of strong arming, and there was a lot of stuff going on. And at that point was when I decided, you know what? I got to get out of this. I got to do something about it.
Well, perfect. And you said something, Kamanzi, that's really powerful that I hear, and I listen for words, because words are important, and they tell a lot of the story. You said you felt stuck, and that's something I hear time and time again. People feel stuck in their circumstances. So you had this knowing that something wasn't a fit anymore, and there was something different. So what did you do to move forward and get unstuck?
Well, the day I decided that I wanted more, it was probably the happiest day I had in a long time. I went around and I told everybody who listened that I'm selling my business, I'm going to move on to something better, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I was all fired up for about 2 weeks. And then after 2 weeks, then the little doubts started coming into my head. Well, you know, you do make good income. Well, the economy is starting to go bad. Well, you know, you got a wife and three kids. You know, how are you going to leave this? And those doubts eventually got me. And after about 2 weeks of being fired up, I just went back into normal life. And it wasn't until a year after that 2 weeks, that some things started happening with the company where it got even worse than what it initially was. And I was thinking, man, enough's enough. And then on top of that, there was some deaths in my family, some people that were close to me, and it hit me all at once. I was sitting there, and the thought just came into my head, you know, life is short. What have you done with your life up to this point? You know, more than that, what have you even attempted to do with your life up to this point? And, you know, we always know life is short, but then when you experience death like that, it's like it's crystal clear, and it became crystal clear to me that day. I knew I needed to do something.
Well, you bring up a great point about the, you went back, you were fired up for 2 weeks, you went back for another year, and we talk a lot about how often, we keep repeating things and they get harder until we finally get the lesson from it and move forward. So in getting out of that and moving forward, and we just got about 50 seconds now, but was there any other roadblocks or obstacles in your path from there over this last 3 years?
Yeah, you know, besides my doubts and fears, it was negative people held me back. You know, I had friends that told me, you know what, you know, I'd tell them an idea and they said, that's not a good idea, or you can't make that work, or they'd give me the 100 reasons why it would never happen. And I started to actually believe that stuff.
Very good. So what was that from that 20 seconds or so, what was the lessons you learned?
I learned if I'm going to have to move forward, I got to cut out the negative out of my life. That's the only way I'm going to move forward.
Very good. So you learned that, hey, these people that are in my life, if they're going to hold me back, then I've got to limit my time around them.
That's right.
Perfect. Well, Kamanzi, hang on. We're going to have to go to a break now. But let's stay tuned because you want to catch the conclusion of Kamanzi's rich life story. We're just kind of getting built up to where he's really getting into moving towards it, and the conclusion's a good one. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back with a lot more right here on the Rich Life Show. Welcome back to the Rich Life Show. Before the break, we're talking to our friend Kamanzi Constable about his story. And Kamanzi, what I love about your story and why I love that you're sharing it with our listeners is that it's real. You know, you're talking about, hey, I decided it was time to do something. I started and I stopped and I had to restart again. I got on the path and I had some obstacles. I had some negative people that I had to either cut way back or eliminate from my life. And, you know, what I love about that, and we're getting to where this has all led to, but I love that because people can relate to that because that's where they are. So thanks so much just for being authentic there. But let's get to a little more of the good stuff. So on this journey, when did it start producing some fruits, if you will, and what were some of those?
Well, I want people to understand when they hear my story, and sometimes when you hear inspirational stories, you're like, well, you know, that's great for that guy, but it doesn't really apply to me. You know, the job that I had, the business that I had, even though I was self-employed, I delivered bread for 12 years, getting up at midnight every night, you know, doing physical labor. I was a vendor in the grocery stores. You probably walked by me and saw me stocking. So that's where I came from. And when the company started clamping down, I started keeping a journal of what was going on, and I just wanted to vent, and writing was something I had always loved to do. So I'm journaling, and after about a couple weeks, I noticed, hey, I got a lot of material here, but what can I do with it? And I kind of just checked that in the back of my mind. Then it was 2 weeks later that I had run across a story of a woman named Amanda Hawking, who was a woman in the same situation I was in. She was a 22-year-old CNA from Minnesota, and she always wanted to be a writer. She actually wrote 17 novels that she pitched to publishers and agents, and they were all rejected. And she was crushed at first, but she heard about this new thing that was going on with ebooks and Amazon, and she decided to go that route. And she self-published, and she didn't have, you know, any money, so she just used social media, and she got some book reviewers that agreed to review her books. And after the first week, she had sold 456 copies, and she was excited. After the first month, she had sold 10,000 copies, and she had made more money than she ever made in her life. And then in a 6 to 8 month period, she sold 1 million copies of her 3 self-published ebooks. And I read that story, and I thought, man, if Amanda could sell, you know, 1 million copies, why couldn't I sell at least 10,000? And that would be more than enough money to get away from this job that it was driving me nuts and just making me miserable in my life. So I decided this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to self-publish this little collection of thoughts that I have and see where it goes. And I actually worked overtime at a job that made me miserable just to get the money to pay to get the book done professionally and get the website done. And those were rough days, but I just focused on the prize. I got the money. I put the book together. It was professionally done. It was beautiful. And I went on social media and I told everybody that this book was coming. You know, I followed Amanda's playbook, and I told everybody who listened. I called people I hadn't talked to in like 10 years. I talked to people in the grocery stores and other people that I worked with, and everybody had said, when the book comes out, I'm going to buy it. I mean, it was probably 300 people that told me that. So the day the book came out, I rushed through work. I ran home. I logged on to Amazon thinking I was going to see at least 100 sales from friends and family and people that I talked to. And what I saw sitting on the screen bowl was a big fat zero. And I thought, something's wrong here. So I Googled it, and I wanted to see if Amazon updated their results in real time. And they did. And, you know, I couldn't figure it out. I was crushed. I was like, what's going on? So I immediately got on social media, and I started saying, hey, the book's out. You know, I know a number of you said you want it. The book is here. You know, go buy it. And as the day went on, I would check the stats, like, probably every 20 minutes, and nothing was there. And I was getting more and more frustrated. And it got to the point where at the end of the day, I would go on social media and I would tell people, you know, all you people told me you're going to buy my book and nobody bought it. Everybody on here is fake and I'm not anybody on here. And I was frustrated.
Wow. So I mean, that's another just great teaching point is you did all that work. You worked the extra job, got the book perfect, and then you think that, okay, I do that, and then I can get the results, and the results still weren't there, and you had to keep pressing forward. So we know the success, and I'll let you tell the kind of the conclusion of where you are now as far as the book sales, but how did you get there? How did you break through that frustration, the zero sales, and let our listeners know how many books you sold now?
Well, you know, for about 2 weeks, I was depressed, and I was ready to be done, you know. I had a good paying business. That was good enough. Most people don't have that. I would just pound that out for 40 years and I would retire. I was done. And I was depressed for 2 weeks. And if it wasn't for my wife and a close group of friends, a really close group of friends I have that are listening now, so I want to give a shout out to them. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't even be talking to you because I was ready to quit. But they said, you know what, Kamanzi? It's not over. You fell down. Get back up. Figure out what you did wrong. But more than that, it was my wife that challenged me, and she gave me a direct question. She said, what is this about for you? Is this about the money, or is it about the message? And that was like a slap in the face, you know, because even though I want to make money to get away from this job that made me miserable in this business and this life that I really didn't want, I wanted to help people that were in the same situation as me. And I wasn't an expert, but I wanted to help them any way I could and just spread the message that you don't have to be miserable in your work and your life. And so I thought she's right, and that's what I focused on from that point on. I didn't even look at the numbers for the books anymore. I started writing. I told myself, if you're a writer, why don't you actually write? So I started writing what I was going through at work and the feelings of being stuck and, you know, things that happen, getting fired from a job that you don't like and wanted to make changes only to fail. I started writing about that stuff, and people started connecting with the message.
They were responding and getting the message. I love that. Well, we're going to have to go to one more break, Kamanzi. I don't mean to interrupt, but what I'd love to do is a question I want to get to when we come back is the person out there who might relate to where you talked about, I was stuck. I was stuck and frozen and didn't know how to move forward. What do you tell that person? Because I know there's a bunch of them listening today. We'll be right back with Kamanzi Constable right here on The Rich Life Show. We went to the break talking to Rich Life friend Kamanzi Constable. And if you're liking his story so far, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you can go to KamanziConstable.com. That's KIMANZI. Constable, KONSTABLE.com, and find out more about him and some of these books we're talking about. So, Kamanzi, as we were kind of winding down the last segment, you were starting to share where you were getting to and hitting these dreams, and it sounded like your wife kind of hit you right between the eyes with a nice wake-up call and realized, hey, this is a mission, not necessarily a thing to make a lot of money.
That's right. And once I did that, you know, then it was about researching and just figuring out some of the tactics. You know, I knew I needed traffic to my website, so I started guest posting on larger websites, you know, sent them articles and they featured them, and I started getting traffic. But once the people came back to my site, then I wanted to just share the story, share the message, and people connected with that message. And the crazy thing was, when I started focusing on the message, people bought books, and they told their friends about the books. You know, the writing must have not sucked, because they told their friend, hey, you got to check out this book. And the word started to spread through social media, and I started getting contacted for interviews, and, you know, I started getting some exposure, and the book started selling. And from that point of, you know, the first 2 months the first book was out, it sold 5 copies in the first 2 months. And then from that point till today, two of my self-published books have sold a little bit over 70,000 copies. And I've actually signed a publishing contract with Sound Wisdom Books, which as a writer, it was my absolute dream come true to be signed by a publisher. And then after that, if that wasn't enough, I started getting contact from conferences that wanted me to come and speak about how I use social media to sell these books. And I said, I really didn't. I just focused on the message, but, you know, I couldn't tell them that. So they wanted me to come speak, and I thought, there's no way I could speak in front of people. But again, my friend said, you got to do this. So, you know, I've done 8 events so far this year, 7 of them all over the United States. And in July, I was in Sydney, Australia. And for the rest, and, you know, 10 days, I'll be speaking at the Hawaii Social Media Summit in Oahu, Hawaii. And the week after that, I'll be in Manila in the Philippines. And then I'll close out the year in Nairobi, Kenya.
Amazing.
So I went from delivering bread to failing to self-publishing to speaking all over the world, and it's just, it's even crazy to me.
Amazing. Yeah, delivering bread to over 70,000 books sold now, a contract with a publisher, our friends at Sound Wisdom, and an international speaker. So I want our listeners to pay attention. So for the person out there, Kamanzi, that's in that place that's stuck, that knows there's something and knows, but there's probably a lot of fear around that. What do you tell them?
Well, I tell them, number one, you got to reach out for support. If it wasn't for the support I had, you know, I wouldn't be here. You got to find, you know, a close little support group, friends, family, whoever it is, establish that support group right away and have them be there to help and encourage you. And then number two, despite the economy, despite where you're at right now in your life, we are surrounded by more opportunity than we've ever had. You know, there's over 2.3 billion people online every day, and in 3 years, that's going to triple. There's, you know, almost a billion users on Facebook. You know, if you want to start a business, you can go on WordPress.com, start a website for free. If you are a knitter, you can put together a knitting ebook. And
there's no time like it. We got to go, Kamanzi. I mean, just such great content. I want to thank you. But listeners, go check out the book, The Difference Between Living and Existing, A 9-Month Plan to Radically Change Your Life, from our friend Kamanzi Constable at KamanziConstable.com. We'll be back again this time next week on The Rich Life Show.